How's everyone doing? Good, good, good. I'd like to first welcome those that are watching online. It is indeed an honor for you to be with us. And if you're ever in the area, we would love for you to be a part of our family and love for you to be a part of our service. Can we give all of our online guests a hand, please? So I hope everyone had a Merry Christmas. Did you? Did everyone have a Merry Christmas? Are you one of those that gets so excited for the buildup of Christmas and you just start counting down the days? And are you one of those that gets so excited about decorating? Well, see, at our house, we start decorating around probably the next day after Thanksgiving. And it's my job to get the thousands of bins of decorations out in hopes that we use at least one of them. And not only that, it's that we can't get rid of any of them because we may use them the next year. You know, and I'm kidding, of course. But, you know, another job of mine is to get the tree. I'm very particular about the tree. I want the tree to be full. So I get the tree out and I set it up, make sure every limb is straight and it looks full. And then also being the tallest person in the family, it's also my job to put the lights on because, you know, we'd have to have probably 6-foot ladder to put the other lights on. But anyway, one thing I didn't tell you is that while going around and around the tree, I get dizzy. You know, but I can't let anybody know that I get dizzy, you know, because I can't let my man card be pulled or anything like that. I've got to do the right thing. I got to be dad. So kids, now you know, I get dizzy. So anyway, and for some, we start counting down the days. And everybody gets so excited about Christmas. You go shopping, you wrap presents. But then for some, it's like this. You start crying. Christmas is just terrible for you. That's a joke. You can laugh. It's funny. The little girl's crying. It's okay. Bad one, okay? You can go ahead and take it down. Oh, that Santa's a wonderful guy. I don't know who he is, but he's a wonderful guy. Anyway, it may have been a little stressful for some because, you know, your Christmas shopping went down to the wire. And if you tried to go to the mall last week, it seemed like everybody in the state of Texas was on the roads. And it was a little bit stressful. It may have seemed like that, you know, you wasn't going to get what you were supposed to. And then it's Christmas Eve. It start working up. And then Christmas Day. And so we celebrate Christmas on Christmas morning. You may have sung some Christmas carols and you may have eaten some, you know, tamales or some bonuelos. Come on, can I get an amen on that one? Yes, they're good. But see, for our family, Irene has a large family. She's one of 11. And so when we get together, it's a huge family. And it's a huge deal. Well, we celebrate Christmas on Christmas Eve and we stay up late and we open up our presents. And then it's over with, right? It's over with. And at the end of the day, when all the gifts are no longer under the tree, they've all been opened and nothing's left under there, Christmas is over with, right? And now you're ready for the new year to start. You're ready to get back to your regular life, back to some kind of normality. Maybe you were just tired. You were just tired. You were ready for it to be done, ready for it to be over with. And you're ready to put Christmas back into a box. Until next year. So again, we could say that Christmas is over. Or is it really over? Was Christmas just an event for you, or was it an experience? So what do we do now? What do we do now that Christmas Day is over with? And Christmas has come and gone. So the title of this sermon today is, What's Now? What do we do now? What's now? How many times have you heard the Christmas story? I'm sure there's people in here that could come up here and they could tell it probably verbatim, could quote scripture verbatim of what the Christmas story is all about. We probably know that the characters in the story, of course, there was Joseph and Mary, and there were the shepherds, and there was the wise men, and there was King Herod. But there's some major characters that we don't necessarily talk about all the time, and that's the angels. What do you suppose it was like for the angels that day? What do you suppose it was like? More than anyone else in the Christmas story, the angels knew exactly what it all meant. They knew exactly what was going to happen. Imagine the joy of Gabriel as he got to go tell Mary that there was a baby coming. Imagine the frustration and the unbelief of the angel that went to tell Joseph. And he's like, come on, man. I'm trying to tell you what's happening. Imagine the happiness of the angel that announced the birth to the shepherds. God was doing something amazing that day. But did you know that wasn't just for that day? It's for right now. God has done something right now. Do you suppose that they have gotten tired of it? Do you suppose that they were ready for it all to be done? In Luke chapter 2, verse 10 through 12, it says, and the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. You see, when our kids were younger, they would get excited about going underneath the tree and they would find out which presents were theirs because why? They knew that their name was on it. They knew that that was their present. And you see, the message of the angels is that Jesus is your gift this Christmas. Amen. Thank you, Lord. The angel's message to the shepherd, as well as for you today, is that Jesus is your Savior. He's your King. He's your Christ. He's your gift, straight from God, just for you. Sometimes we focus so much on the fact of John 3:16, where it says God so loved the world that we forget that God so loved us, that he gave us this gift. So point number one is this, that the gift of Jesus comes with a no return, no refund policy. It's a gift to you. Now, I'm not saying that Jesus is not going to come back. I'm talking about the gift that was given to you is a no return policy. And when I was younger, I won't tell who it was, but I had gotten a gift from somebody, and I opened it up, and you know, I wasn't trying to be rude or anything like that, and I was thankful that I got a gift, but my first thought was like, wow, okay, I guess I'll be at the store in the morning to return this. And lo and behold, I was in line. Yes, I got there early, and I was standing in line, and the person that gave it to me walks in the door. And it's almost as if there was nobody else in there because it was just a beeline straight to them, and we were looking eye to eye. And so I get out of line, and I'm trying to hide the gift behind my back. And I said, hey, how y'all doing? What are y'all doing here? And I said, oh, well, you know, something didn't fit. And I'm like, whoo, good. But I still didn't tell them that their gift was behind me. And so he's like, what are you doing here? So I changed the subject. And I was like, I was just kind of wondering, how your day was. I know we left and how your day was. And I wasn't lying. I really was trying to find out how their day was and trying to change the subject. But the thought that came to mind was that, man, this is going to be a great elephant gift because I cannot stand in that line no more. I've got to get out of line, act like I'm really shopping. You see, unlike returning gifts that don't fit and you don't like them the day after Christmas, Jesus is a no return or refund. God doesn't give you an elephant gift. The gift of Jesus always fits. It doesn't matter how old you get. It doesn't matter what size you are. It doesn't matter anything. God, he always fits. One of the major activities this week, obviously, between Christmas and New Year's is the gift exchange or return. You know, stores often promote there's quick and easy, painless return policies to ease your mind. But really, stores don't like you to return your gift. They say that there's 100% customer satisfaction, but it really isn't that. You see, I'm so grateful that God doesn't have that return policy. I'm so thankful that his gift to me, Jesus, my Savior, can never be returned. I don't believe that there's a Christian out there that would suddenly decide, you know what, I don't want this gift of salvation. I don't want it anymore. I'll just return it. I don't believe you're going to say that. John 10, verse 27 through 29 says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them from my hands. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hands. I'm so thankful that it's a done deal. God chose us to have an eternal relationship with him. Now, that's a return policy that I can love. I'm so thankful for that. When you truly receive the gift, you will never return the same. I'm gonna say that one more time. When you truly receive the gift of Jesus, you will never return the same way that you were before. The gift of Jesus does not come with an exchange. It does come with an exchange policy, though. He exchanged his life for ours. He was sinless but took on our sins. Point number two is this. It is the gift that it's okay to re-gift. It's not fruitcake. It's okay to re-gift this gift. But you know what? I have never, ever put grace on my Christmas list. But that's what Jesus Christ has given me and you. He's given us grace. That's what he gave his children, and that's what he's given you today. He reaches into his limitless storehouse, and he measures out the perfect amount. And it's exactly what I need, it's exactly what you need, and it fits just right. And he expects us to use it. It costs way too much. It costs way too much for us not to use it. You see, but you don't have to wait until December 25th to receive it. It's here right now. It's here. This gift is here for you right now. You see, when I received the gift of Jesus, I couldn't contain myself. I still can't contain myself. I wanted to tell everybody I come in contact with. Maybe I've seen you out. I'm going to tell you about Jesus. I'm going to tell you exactly what God has done for me, what this gift is for me. And it doesn't mean that when you receive this gift that you have to know the Bible from front leaflet to back leaflet and you got to quote all these scriptures. It doesn't mean that. You can just simply walk up to somebody and say, I don't know the Bible right now, but I'm learning the Bible. But let me tell you what he's done for me. Pastor Robin spoke a while back, and he said something that was profound to me. He said that people will read you before they ever even open the book. Amen. And it's absolutely true. They'll read you. They want to find out what's going on. It's like there's a glow about you. They want to see what's going on. They want to see how you operate. Why are you so happy even in the midst of the storm that you're in? Why are you so happy? You see, while studying for this sermon, a thought came to mind. What was it like after Christmas? For the characters in the story, what was it like after they received Jesus? You see, for the wise men, it meant a long road home. They came from the west. They took an alternate road to the east. And you know, sometimes that trip home is always longer than the trip going. It's always longer. You know, maybe you're one that you had to set your alarm. Maybe you traveled this week. You set your alarm, you're like, well, we got to get back on the road. I suppose if we don't get on the road now, it's going to take forever. So already in your mindset, you have thousands and thousands of yellow lines that pass by your head. And you get home. And you're happy to be home. You're glad that it's over with. You see, for the shepherds, after that amazing event, they went back to being shepherds. They went back to their everyday lives. And that night was not just an event for them. It was something special. It meant that they were a part of something fantastic, even for a little while. But now that it's over, they went back to being shepherds, but there was something different about them. In Luke chapter 2, verse 17 and 18, and then we're going to skip to 20, it says, and when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. Verse 20 says, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. You see, that final verse tells something to us. The shepherds were profoundly changed by what they experienced. It wasn't just an event for them. On that day before Christ, they were tending sheep. And on the day after, they went back to tending sheep. But there was something different. Their hearts were filled with praise for God. You see, they went back to their daily routine. But what a difference one day made for them. Again, that night was not an event, it was an experience. To say that the shepherds glorified God meant that they were overwhelmed by God's power, by his grace, by his goodness, by his wisdom, and the amazing miracle before their eyes. And they simply could not stop talking about it. You see, there's another thing I want to note in here. The Bible doesn't say that they went to the temple to glorify God. It said that they returned to where they had been. back to the tiring and the unappreciative work of being a shepherd. So within 48 hours, their life was completely changed. So in closing, I want to tell you that this Christmas season, as we know it, is eventually going to end for all, us all. But will we be changed by this Christmas? Will we want more of Christ? Or will it be just business back to normal in 2016? You see, for the shepherds, life would never be the same. For you, life will never be the same. Christmas didn't change their circumstance, but it changed them deeply and profoundly. When you receive this gift, it will change you deeply and profoundly. You will never be the same. You do not have to walk out these doors the same exact way you walked in these doors. Because it changed the way they approached their daily life. It changed them because they had a new zeal, they had a new joy, they had a new love, and they had God in their hearts. The truth is about Christmas is that Jesus, again, is your Savior. He's your King. He's your Christ. He's your gift, straight from God, just for you. You see, this gift of Jesus is eternal life. It's an abundant life. It's peace. It's joy. Sure, you're going to face things. Sure, you're going to go back to your workplace. Sure, you're going to go back to life. But if you've never received this gift of Jesus, I want to invite you to receive him into your heart. I want to invite you today because it's so overwhelming. That no matter what I face, no matter what I go through, no matter the situation, that he's always in there. I can rest in him. There's been situations that's gone on in our life in the last month. And it's been absolutely stressful. But this is what God has been telling me. You can rest in me. You can rest in me. That everything's going to be okay. That I filled you with your spirit. Live it. Live it out. Live life. You see, the baby Jesus was a gift that changed everything. Would you like for Christmas to last all year long? It doesn't have to be an event. You don't have to pack it away. You can live it out. This gift is for you. It wasn't just for them 2,000 years ago. It's for you today. See, when you go back to your daily life, you're going to go back to your office. You're going to go back to the classroom. You're going to go back to the job. You're going to go back to your family duties. But as you go back to your daily routine, glorify God. Live it out. Live the life that God wanted you to live in peace. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today. God, we thank you for the gift that you've given us. That we know that we don't have to ask the question, what now? That we can live in you. God, if there's anyone in here today that doesn't know you, that doesn't have a personal relationship with you. Maybe they've been doing it for a long time and they're just struggling. God, I pray a peace over them right now. I pray that they would receive you in their heart, knowing that you are the answer. They don't have to leave from here being the same person that they were. God, we thank you that we can turn to you in time of need. We thank you that you are with us every step of the day, that we don't have to wait till December 25th to receive your gift. Father, we praise you, we honor you today, and we give you all glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome.
Sing it with us.
Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence,
Underestimate what a moment can do for you in your life when you're in God's presence. It could set you up. It could change your life forever. One moment. And it doesn't necessarily mean that that moment, you stay in that moment. You'll move on from that moment, but you'll leave that moment changed. And sometimes it's a moment like this where we just take a moment, we take a time to just rest and stop. And maybe this time of rest and stop for you is not just at the end of this message that Mike brought to us, but it's this week. It's today, or it's this week. It's this moment before 2016 happens on Friday. Let's just give God the chance to speak into our hearts. And maybe what we should be asking Him is, Lord, what are you saying to me? What are you saying to me, and how will I respond to that? And we think that, sometimes we think that that only happens when someone like me, a pastor, or somebody tells you something, or You never think that God could actually be speaking to you. But He will, and He does, and He is. So as a son or daughter of God who's living in this Christmas moment, don't be afraid to ask him, Lord, what are you saying to me? Maybe it's because you're feeling nothing. Maybe it's because you're not in a time of blessing or something that you're enjoying, but it's in a time of struggle and difficulty. It's a moment where the kingdom of God's actually breaking into your life. What are you saying to me now, God? And how can I respond to this? So, as your pastor, I can encourage you with that. I can tell you that. I can empower you with God's word that says for you to do that. But it's going to take you talking to God and saying, Lord, what are you saying to me? When I'm in your presence, when I want to be in your presence, when there's others around me that are obviously not in your presence, and I have to live with them or talk to them or be working with them, help me. We're going to have some folks up at the front today praying longer. If you'd like to pray with a specific person, an individual, and take them by the hand and have them agree with you in prayer, we'll do that today immediately following service. We're also baptizing folks today. If you've not been baptized and you don't want to let an opportunity go by to be baptized, you can be baptized today on the final service of 2015. And if you have received Jesus in your life, if you have asked him to come into your heart and your life, and he's forgiven you of your sin, you're giving your heart and your life to him in repentance, and you have yet to be baptized into his family, into the new identity of Jesus Christ in baptism, then I want to encourage you to go for it. There's nothing holding you back. You don't have to go to a baptism class or be certified by a pastor here. You're certified by God when you give him your life and you have surrendered to him. What you're saying is, I'm ready for the new life. And we follow Romans, the 6th chapter, where it says that we are buried with him in baptism. And because we are buried with him with baptism, we're buried with the one who overcame death and the grave. We come up out of that water a new person, a new identity in a son or a daughter of the throne, of the King. Amen. It's a wonderful thing. So we baptize all the time because it is a wonderful thing. We don't want anybody to go without being baptized. So if you like that today, we have clothes and towels and water and pastors ready to baptize you. Let me pray a prayer of blessing over you. We'll send you out on your way. Stand to your feet right now and let me pray with you. In the name of Jesus, Father, as we stand to our feet and we're getting ready to go out those doors and polish off 2015, whether we're going back to work or we're going to do some more travel or more vacation, whatever it is, God, that we're in the midst of this week, God, we pray that we will be the salt of the earth and the light of this world. We'll be a city that's set on a hill that's not afraid or ashamed of the gospel. But we pray we will leave out of here today as your witnesses to tell others, not anything else, not any grand knowledge or wisdom or that we've acquired over time, but simply to tell the story of what you've done in us, what you've done in my life and my heart. And each of us will be a testimony, will be a witness. God, we want to spread the great news of salvation to all folks that we come in contact with. God, let us be bold, let us be strong, let us be resting in you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Let's clap our hands to him right now. Come on, clap your hands like you mean it. Yeah. But we love you. We love you at Promised Land. We're here for you. God bless you. You're dismissed. We'll see you next year.